Today's agenda will include member and staff introductions and then an overview of committee jurisdiction presented by Bonnie Berezovsky. We begin with introductions. I'm Ray Vanderveer from Forest Lake. I represent Northern Washington County and Northeastern Anoka County. This is the start of my second term, and I served five terms in the House of Representatives. So, great to be here. Carl Jacobson is the committee administrator to my left, and Sheila Lewis is a legislative assistant to my right. Bonnie Berezovsky, Senate counsel, who I understand is temporarily assigned to the committee, and we are in the process of hiring permanent staff to cover this committee. So we can start with member introductions and introduce myself. So Senator Chamberlain, would you like to go?
Roger Chamberlain, District 53, Lana Lakes, White Bear Township, White Bear Lakes, White Bear Lake, Shoreview, North Oaks, first term, so first time on the committee. Thanks.
Claire Roebling, representing the majority of Scott County, Shakopee, Prior Lake, Savage, Jordan, and Elko New Market, and several rural townships. And I am starting my 15th year. And I have been on this committee ever since I started, so I'm kind of the veteran, I guess.
Roger Reiner, 10th Senate District 7 up in Duluth, and I did 2 years in the, makes it sound like a sentence. I was in the House for 2 years before I came here to the Senate.
My name is John Peterson, representing the Senate District in St. Cloud, but also includes the cities of Waite Park and St. Augusta and Rockville and a couple townships there.
I'm Senator Kathy Sharon, Senate District 23, which is Mankato and Burth County, all of Nicola County, and some of Sibley County. And this is my second term.
I'm John Harrington.
And I'm eating my lunch back there, so I'll be back.
I'm Katie Steven. I grabbed Bonnie Berezovsky's nameplate, but I'm from Senate District 57. The largest cities are Cottage Grove and Hastings. And I'm the DFL lead on the committee, and I'm happy to be here.
I'm John Harrington, and I feel bad that I don't have a lot of cities to pronounce, because basically I've got the east side of St. Paul, so Senate District 67. This is my first term as a senator and my first meeting here, and I'm happy to be here.
I'm Warren Limmer, state senator in northwest Hennepin County, and about 300 homes that my district spills into in Wright County. The two largest or the more prominent cities would be Maple Grove and Rogers on Highway 94. And I served 6 years in the House, and I'm starting my 17th year in the Senate.
Pam Wolf, Senate District 51, cities of Blaine, Moundsview, Spring Lake Park, and part of Fridley. This is my first term.
Hello, Carla Nelson, District 30. I represent the cities of Chatfield, Dover, Eota, Elgin, Plainview, Stuartville, and Rochester.
Benjamin Cruz, representing Senate District 47, which is Brooklyn Park, Champlin, and Coon Rapids.
I should mention that Senator Chamberlain is the vice chair, and Senator Lowry has joined us. Would you care to introduce yourself?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Lowry, Senate District 8, most of the I-35 corridor between Duluth and the Twin Cities, Cloquet, Carlton, Moose Lake, Pine City, Hinckley, Sandstone, Mora, you know, Pine, Carlton, Kennebec counties.
Okay, thank you. We didn't miss anybody. Good. Now we'll start with the overview of committee jurisdiction.
Mr. Chair and members. The committee jurisdictions are being finalized now, and it's my understanding that they are final, but they aren't yet linked to the Senate webpage. But I am assured that the statement of jurisdiction that I'm presenting today is the one that will apply to this committee. So it is a new committee. Previously, local government and election issues were handled in the State and Local Government Operations Committee, and elections were handled in a subcommittee of that committee, if I remember correctly. This committee has general jurisdiction over all legislation that relates to local and metropolitan governments and over elections and campaign finance. There are several boards, commissions, and councils over which this committee has jurisdiction. Two of those involve confirmation authority, and I thought I would start with those. That's the Metropolitan Council and the Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board. The Metropolitan Council will follow the general confirmation laws and Senate rules that apply to confirmation. And that will apply to all 17 council members, the chair and the 16 who represent geographic subdivisions of the metropolitan area. The chair has already been appointed by the governor, that's Susan Haig, and she has already started to perform her duties, and she can continue to perform those duties unconfirmed, and will continue to do so unless the Senate should vote against confirmation. Her nomination has not yet officially been referred to this committee, but it will be referred to this committee, and then the committee will have 60 legislative days in which to consider, actually less than 60, because it has to, if the committee does make a recommendation, it'll go to the full Senate, and then after 60 legislative days, it's withdrawn from this committee if there's no action taken. Then it goes to the full Senate for action. And in the case of the Metropolitan Council, the Senate only confirms those appointments. So as all members of the Metropolitan Council are appointed by the governor, and as those appointments are made and the statements of economic interest and so on are filed, those appointments will all be referred here for consideration. And the other entity that brings along with it confirmation authority is the Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board. And the members there, I believe there are six board members, and they have staggered terms, but it just so happens that one was just appointed in December by Governor Pawlenty, and that one has already been referred to this committee. And there will be two other terms ending in January, this month. So presumably Governor Dayton will be appointing new people to fill those terms fairly soon. And those three positions then will come here for confirmation. And the confirmation process is different for those members by statute. For one thing, both Senate and House have to confirm those board members. And there's an allotment of 45 legislative days after the appointment comes in. Then, and if both houses do not vote to confirm those board members within 45 legislative days, then they no longer can serve on the board. So that's a different process. And I'm told by the engrossing office who tracks all this that it's a unique process in our state law. So the other boards and commissions and councils over which this committee has jurisdiction do not carry any confirmation requirement. So we start with just a very quick overview. Metropolitan Council, it's our regional planning organization for the 7-county metropolitan area. It does run the bus and transit systems and light rail system, but that part of its function is within the Transportation Committee jurisdiction. So, but its other functions and its organizational structure and functioning are within the jurisdiction of this committee. So besides transit, they also work with wastewater, water resources, regional parks, affordable housing, and planning. They review the comp plans in the metro area, and they are required to come up with certain long-term planning documents for the metropolitan area. The Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board is also is within the elections part of this committee's jurisdiction, and that board is will be reporting. I think fairly soon, probably it has to report every other year, I believe, and it reports on the candidate committees, political parties, local contributions received, transfers to candidates, and so on. It also has to interpret the gift ban. It answers questions, issues advisory opinions, and supports lobbyist and candidate registration and tracking of financial information. The Metropolitan Airports Commission is a statutorily created public corporation. It was created by state law in 1943, and its mission is to provide for coordinated aviation services in the Twin Cities metropolitan area. It operates the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport and six reliever airports. It's governed by a board of commissioners that are appointed by the Minnesota governor, the mayor, and the mayors of Minneapolis and St. Paul. And they have authority to adopt ordinances dealing with anything relating to the airport, airport zoning, airport noise, operations, fire and safety, and ground transportation. The six reliever airports that it administers are Anoka County, Blaine, Flying Cloud, Downtown St. Paul, Air Lake, Crystal, and Lake Elmo. The next entity over which this committee has jurisdiction is the Metropolitan Parks and Open Space Commission. It's an agency of the Met Council and consists of eight members and a ninth member who is a chair. And this commission reviews all the master plans and budgets that are submitted by park districts and counties. They're involved in acquisition and development of regional recreational open space. It advises the council as to consistency between the council's policy plan and the regional and city plans and budgets. The Metropolitan Sports Facilities Commission was originally established in 1977, and it was responsible for the construction of the Metrodome. It owns and operates the Metrodome, and it has broader responsibility for sports facilities in general in the metropolitan area. In reading the statutes relating to this commission, I noted that the commission was required in 2002 to deposit $500,000 in a football stadium account. So just out of curiosity, I asked the fiscal analyst for that area if that ever happened, and he's checking into it. I don't know. And then they also, if they ever sell the Metrodome, $5 million by statute goes to Hennepin County for the ballpark, and the rest goes to debt service for construction of a new Viking stadium. So those were pieces of our current statute. And then finally, there's a St. Anthony Falls Heritage Board, and that board was put together to develop a plan to interpret the significant historical components of the St. Anthony area, the early Minneapolis part of the city. Then, in addition to those entities, there are certain specific issue areas that are identified within this committee's jurisdiction. The first is airport noise. And the airport noise, I'm assuming if the jurisdiction there is probably local since it's local government, and the Met Council, MAC is the one that generally deals with airport noise in the metropolitan area. It is an area that is largely preempted by the federal government in terms of fleet requirements, how we measure noise, what is an acceptable level of noise for residents and residential areas and hospitals and schools and so on. The MAC has a noise oversight committee that meets periodically, and They look at the capital improvement projects and their effect on noise, the aircraft operations, and so on. MAC produces a noise contour map every year that shows the noise impact areas, and it's measured in DNL, which is day-night level or day-night average sound level. And I think 65 DNL used to be considered the tipping point where there had to be mitigation of homes, air conditioning, and better insulation and so on. And I believe that they have actually gone below that as the contour map is looking better and better with shrinking 65 and over zones. And that's partly because the fleet now by federal law has gotten quieter. The airplanes that come into MSP have to be stage 3 aircraft or else stage 2 with a hush kit that puts them at stage 3 noise levels. So, but that is something that even despite the federal preemption, the state has found ways to get involved legislatively by mandating mitigation, by requiring certain acoustical barriers, and encouraging the use of and development of the reliever airport system. So these are ways that the legislature has also played a role in airport noise issues. The next issue is comparable worth for public employees. And this goes back to 1984 originally when the legislature began to require pay equity in local government. And these laws require local governments to periodically analyze their pay structure and look for gender-based inequities among classes of employees. The local government unit has to adopt a job evaluation system in order to determine comparable work value. And then they have to report, I think, every 3 years. And if there is a problem, then they have to comply within a certain period of time or pay a fine or suffer reduction of local government aid. Hospital districts fall within this committee's jurisdiction, and Minnesota law allows any two or more cities and towns, except for cities of the first class, to form a hospital district to acquire, improve, and run hospital and nursing home facilities. The legal newspapers are also within this committee's jurisdiction. Those are newspapers that in which publication of officially required notices is considered compliance with the law, and the statute is very specific as to the requirements that that a legal newspaper has to meet. Let's see, Metropolitan Airports, we did. Open meeting law. The open meeting law is the law that requires that meetings of governmental bodies are generally open to the public with certain exceptions. And the open meeting law that applies to state and local agencies does not apply to the legislature. There is a different law that applies to the legislature. And that law that applies to the legislature requires that floor sessions, committees, subcommittees, and conference committees have to be open to the public. But party caucuses and meetings of legislators from a specific geographic area are not subject to open meeting laws. Special service districts. These are areas within a city that are specifically defined by the city to offer enhanced special services. And costs are paid from revenues of service charges within the special service area. And they only apply to business property. And examples of the services that different cities have arranged for special service districts include street and sidewalk cleaning, snow and ice removal, lighting, signage, landscaping, and security. And it's typically for a retail area or high traffic area that requires a little extra service level. Planning and zoning. This is the area that governs local governments, that cities and counties and other local government units. They have statutory authority to zone in order to control development of land within their community. They may separate different types of uses, and also they can control dimensions of construction such as height, building height, and setback. Local governments can also grant variances under certain circumstances, And I thought I'd mention, because I know a lot of people are interested, that there was a Minnesota Supreme Court decision in June, I believe, of 2010. And that decision took a very restrictive reading of Minnesota statute on a city's power to grant variances. And the court said in its opinion that if the legislature wants cities to have broader powers to grant variances, they're going to have to change the law. So I know there are some drafts circulating, and there's been at least one bill that was introduced already in the Senate and one in the House to try to clarify that, and also to make the city and county variance standards the same, because under current law they're different. And then finally is elections. This committee has jurisdiction over election law, and that's local and statewide elections. And this is a large area and an area of great interest. So areas include campaign conduct, campaign finance, voting processes, post-election review, and issues of voter eligibility. However, I should note that the subject of redistricting is not within this committee's jurisdiction. That's within the Rules Committee jurisdiction. But other than that, any election bills that are introduced will be referred to this committee. And that's all I have.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay. Our next meeting will be starting overviews, and that will be on Monday. So with that, yes.
Chair, would we be able to have some input on the order of those overviews? For example, if we have some board commissioners to look at, or board members and commissioners of the Met Council, for example, would you be willing to accept some input from this committee and in what order we would kind of get those presentations? So would that be appropriate to ask for a presentation on the Met Council first, unless somebody would have a preference of what order we should hear some of those presentations? Or
I think, that might be good. I think the Met Council wasn't ready for Monday. They had a schedule conflict.
Okay.
So I believe that we're looking at Wednesday to begin that. But the Wednesday for the Met Council. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you have you're wondering if you have a preference on the order that the appointees are taking up for their confirmation. Was that your other question?
Well, if you have it right there, I mean, would it be appropriate just to read them off in the order that we're going to see them? Is that possible? And
they will be on the agenda when we get a confirmation from them. As yet, I don't believe they're not completely confirmed.
Okay. Well, so thanks. So let's watch for it.
Senator Wobley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was going to ask Ms. Baraboski. The Metro Airports Commission, you said they can pass ordinances. How much power does the legislature have over that? I mean, are they really a self-contained entity, or you said a lot of their work is governed by federal law too? So what is our statutory authority over that commission?
Ms. Aravosky.
Mr. Chair and Senator Roebling, the MAC is a statutorily created entity, and I would say that aside from issues of federal law and federal preemption, the legislature has authority to, you know, to direct the adoption of ordinances or to modify them with a higher law. They can't. The MAC would not have power to violate state law.
Okay. Mr. Chair?
Senator Roman.
The members of the commission, then, Ms. Berzovsky, are appointed by the governor also, but are they confirmed by another committee other than ours?
Ms. Berzovsky.
Mr. Chair and Senator Roebling, they are appointed by the governor, and they are not subject to confirmation. The appointments are not subject to confirmation. That's a matter of statute.
Mr. Chair.
Roblin.
Are they appointed regionally, or how are the appointments? Because it's really the Metro Airports Commission, right? And so is it? Do they come from all over the state, or are they appointed mainly from the metropolitan area?
It's fair to ask you.
I'm looking for the Mr. Chair and Senator Roebling. I'm looking for the membership piece here, but and I'm not seeing. Oh, here. I guess I made a little summary of it. Actually, it's the mayors of Minneapolis and St. Paul or their designees. 8 members are appointed by the government. The governor from the Minneapolis and St. Paul City Council districts. 4 members are appointed by the governor from outside the metro area. And 2 have to be from communities with a key airport and 2 from communities with an intermediate airport. And the chair is appointed for a 4-year term.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Comments? Now, with regard to the seating, we let you pick your spot today. If you're happy with it, we will have a seating chart because it's just easier to know where members are. Makes it easier for me to, you know, when you want to be called on. So if you're happy with that, this is what we'll use. If you prefer something different, let us know. But we just want a fixed one, but you can pick it. Secondly, on attendance, some committees have had different policies this year. Ours will be if you're here, you're here policy. So, you know, if you come in and sit down, then you're here. We understand members have to go, but and sometimes you have different things that you need to do. But obviously, we'd prefer that you're here, have your input, but we're not going to be taking attendance at the end of the meeting. So, any other comments? If you don't like where you're sitting now, let Mr. Jacobson know, and he'll fix that up for you. Any other questions or anything? All right, well, thank you very much. We are adjourned.